a hell of a year in politics, hasn't it? Federal politics. In fact, if you were writing a script for a political drama, you could probably do worse than pick up a few plot twists from Australian politics this year. It started with a leadership challenge where Kevin Rudd tried to reclaim his old job from Julia Gillard. Yeah, that was this year. Then there was the Speaker, who got his job last year and then lost it this year over accusations of sexual harassment, but also over some text messages that emerged from a court case about sexual harassment. That court case was later sensationally thrown out of court. We had a backbencher that was embroiled in claims of misusing union funds. That story gathered more momentum this year until eventually he left the Labor Party altogether and now sits as an independent. The Prime Minister herself came under attack for a cameo role that she played, supporting a couple of characters that it seems were pretty dodgy characters 20 years ago. Along the way, there were some triumphs, some tears, and even some laughs. For example, from the Trade Minister.
No why I'll wipe out there on my TV. No why I'll wipe out there on my TV. No why I'll wipe out there on my TV. Shocking me right out of my brain. Shocking me right out of my brain.
You see, he really needs some foldback. He's getting way ahead of the beat there. That's not the only problem, but it's the one that grates on me most. Anyway, that was one of the lighter moments in the year, although perhaps emblematic of the state of politics. I'm going to be joined, I'm being joined right now, in fact, by Brian Costa, who's Professor of Politics at Swinburne University, to help us look back on that year in politics. Brian, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Waleed. I think the Minister should keep his day job.
Well, I'm sure he hopes to. And that's
we hope he loses his night job.
We'll find out whether or not he keeps his day job next year, won't we?
We will.
But before we look back on the year in politics, a poll out today that seemed to be bad news for the coalition that seems at odds with a poll that was out last week that seemed to be good news for the coalition and bad news for the government. And this one in the Fairfax Press today suggests that Tony Abbott's most recent attacks on Julia Gillard have not landed and, in fact, have only increased his disapproval ratings.
Yes, I think, I mean, all your people tell you that you look at trends. I guess the trends are that in polls that we're looking at in the last few months is that Labor's improved a bit, but its primary vote is very low indeed. The two-party preferred vote looks competitive at the coalition at 52, Labor at 48, that was today. But, of course, that would be a substantial defeat for a government that has no majority. I mean, that's their real electoral problem. They have no majority to defend. I think one of the things that must be worrying some coalition strategists is the consistent high disapproval rate of Mr. Abbott.
So what does it mean?
I mean, 63%
today. Does it mean that the coalition's vote should be higher?
Yes, I think it should be higher. I would have thought at this point that the coalition vote should be consistently around about the 55% two-party preferred. And to be 52 seems to me to be a bit low. Now, we need to make a distinction here. I mean, unpopular leaders can win elections. Jeff Kennett did it here in Victoria in 1992. But if a leader is so unpopular that the strategists and the pollsters, this is the internal people in the party, are starting to worry that his or her level of unpopularity is dragging down the party's vote, that's when leadership speculation starts.
Mm. And... Well, no, we won't go down that path just yet. I'd be interested in knowing a bit later, though, so just to have a think about it, who exactly the alternative leader would be.
Well, I think that's Mr. Abbott's greatest protection.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the question, because Malcolm Turnbull, you'd think they wouldn't go back to, given his standing within the party. Going to go to Joe Hockey? Are they going to go to, Scott Morrison?
Yes, that has been, I think that's looking a bit fanciful. I mean, the problem that... Malcolm Turnbull's got, of course, he's more popular amongst some Labor voters than he is amongst some Liberal voters,
yeah. And
a lot less popular amongst some of his coalition colleagues. Of course, one of the things that happened in 2010 is that what you might call the more right-wing side of the Liberal Party tended to be strengthened, who, of course, are anti-Turnbull. I mean, I would be very surprised if Mr. Turnbull could win a Liberal Party room ballot.
Just a couple of things on the poll before we move on to looking at the year in review. How do you read the polls, given the assumptions that they're built on about preference flow and those assumptions from the previous year? And it's very hard to tell how accurate those assumptions are at the moment.
Yes, I mean, it is. I mean, there are different pollsters do it differently. One set of pollsters asks a separate question of people who are voting for what we'll call small parties or independents, who would you give your second preference to, and then allocate them accordingly. Another group of pollsters argue that it's better to look at it historically and allocate them according to how they were have gone over the last couple of elections. I tend to be in the second camp, quite frankly. I think you're better to do it that way.
Except that if just looking at this poll, 4% are voting for other. So not Greens, not independent, not Family First. Those votes are parked. And where are they going to go, ultimately, on two-party preferred basis, especially given there's only a 4% gap?
That's right. Well, an interesting thing about that, of course, and these polls are probably a bit too broad brush to be definitive about this, but what's going to happen with the Katter Party in Queensland? Can they win a Senate place? I mean, it's a very unwise person who predicts the outcome of Senate elections because of the churning of, surplus quotas and so on and so forth. But the Katterites are talking up their chances in the Senate in Queensland. I'd be very surprised if they won a House seat other than his own in Queensland, but they might win a Senate seat.
Do you just want to dispense with all the suspense now and tell us who's going to win the election next year?
Look, I think the Coalition will win the election. For this reason, okay, it's a long time off. I don't think there'll be an election until October or November.
Oh, that late. Okay.
Yeah, unless something extraordinary, which you might like to ask me about, happens.
What would that be, Brian Costa?
The only thing that you'd get an early election is if by some chance, and it would have to be a loss in a by-election, the Labor Party found itself in a minority on the floor of the House of Representatives, and they either lost a vote on a supply bill, or more likely they lost a constructive no-confidence motion moved by the opposition, which would then mean that by convention and precedent, the Prime Minister would have to tender her resignation, and the Governor-General would commission Mr Abbott, if he's the opposition leader, to form a government. And I would think that if the polls are running their way, then he'd call an early election, but not before August. Because if anybody calls an election before August, they're only going to get a House election, which creates all sorts of complications down the track with whether or not you've then got a, are you going to get a double dissolution? Are you going to have a half standalone Senate election? I mean, no one wants that. My reason for, at this stage, why I think you've got to say that the Coalition will win is, A, they are consistently ahead in the polls, and B, the government has no majority to defend.
Yep.
And normally governments go to elections with majorities to defend.
Yeah, and so if there's a swing against them of anything, unless it's in exactly the right places and nowhere
else.
That's right. Well, let's start looking back on the year, and it's been a year, I think, characterised by extraordinary hostility in Parliament, quite a lot of mudslinging, scandals and pseudo-scandals really throughout the year. If you just need a bit of a refresher, and I've got a feeling you don't, but if you do, here's a taste.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not.
Another day of shame for a government which should already have died of shame.
The government is not dying of shame. My father did not die of shame.
This is not about gender. This is about character. And Prime Minister, you have failed the character test.
Clearly, without her involvement, the association would not have been established and the fraud could not have been committed.
It was not a trade union. The Prime Minister, in providing that advice, provided correct advice. And for the Coalition to use this as some sort of lever to allege criminal behaviour is frankly disgusting.
Now, plainly, there has been unethical and illegal conduct here. Much of it has been facilitated, at the very least, by the Prime Minister.
We are ashamed to sit in a parliament with a man of negativity
Order.
And sleaze and smear.
Order.
We are ashamed that opposition has not one plan for the nation's future, and in 2013 we'll come back ready to win the contest of ideas. You won't even be in the contest.
Prime Minister's time.
Good times. Yeah, that's right. And that we didn't even mention the court case last week on Peter Slipper and Mr. Ashby. So, Brian Costa, is this tone set to continue or even ramp up given the election next year?
Well, one point about it is don't the voters hate it?
Yeah.
You know, we started, one set of polls, we started the year on the coalition on 52%, Labor on 48%, we end the year on the same figures. Now, okay, there are different polls that move around, but really, I think people have taken the attitude of a plague on both your houses. I don't know what the party strategists think they get out of this stuff. I think it's not doing either of them any good.
Well, it was a clear strategy, though, on the part of the coalition, wasn't it? I mean, the Peter Slipper scandal, obviously the idea was to tarnish him so you can make the numbers tighter in the House. The Craig Thompson scandal, trigger a by-election, will claim government. Right. It was all about actually bringing the government down. No, well, it hasn't so far.
That's the thing is, isn't it? Of all these the political strategy geniuses, none of it's worked. I mean, I think that's, I mean, one of the things, I mean, yes, I think it can be said that the coalition front bench, particularly the leader of the opposition, is very negative. Now, obviously, that's not an accident. I mean, they think this is going to work. Well, I mean, it's been going on now since after the 2010 election, and if working means getting rid of the government, it hasn't worked.
27 minutes to 7. One of the issues that has really been dominant in the year in politics and looks set to continue to be so is the asylum seeker debate. Brian Costa, do you think there are going to be any more policy breakthroughs here, given that the policies that have been implemented so far have been controversial and not necessarily achieved the stated policy ambition?
No, well, here again, a strategy that hasn't worked. And the interesting thing about this is that if you forget about what people think for a moment and just had a look at Australian politics in over the last year, except for the last few weeks where the coalition was on about the AWU stuff, which I also think was wrong-headed, but nevertheless, the big issue in Australia is asylum seekers. Mm. But if you go, and I'm sorry to keep harking back to polls, but if you look at the opinion polls, where a lot of them, not just a few, but over the years, a lot of them ask people, what are the big issues that you're interested in or you're concerned about in terms of federal politics? Asylum seekers and terrorism are at the bottom of the pile.
It's interesting.
Yet the political class just think this is the big, big ticket item.
Well, because they obviously think that they switch important votes.
But the evidence is they don't.
Well, do we know that? This might mean that most Australians might not care, but the ones who turn elections might.
Yeah, I think the Labor Party, of course, anguishes about, quote, Western Sydney. I don't think the evidence is that conclusive. I think there's enough evidence the other way that people, you know, have more nuance. The ordinary people, I'm very controversial about this. I'm a heretic. Okay. I have an endearing and enduring confidence in the good sense of the majority of the Australian electorate. They rarely get it wrong. And I think they've switched off on this stuff. Not switched off in the sense of they don't care about asylum seekers and refugees. I think a lot of them do. A lot of them have different views. But I don't think it's moving their votes. And I think the political class, by which I mean, you know, the politicians, the strategists, and a little bit the media, not completely, but a little bit, think this is the big ticket item, that this is going to change the election. This is the big winner, the big loser. I just don't think it is.
Have the public, not the political class, but have the public switched off this?
Julie has lost the trust of the Australian people, and starting on Monday, I want to start restoring that trust. I want to finish the job the Australian people elected me to do when I was elected by them to become Prime Minister.
I think we need to get out of this idea that Kevin is a messiah who will deliver an election back to us. That is just, I think, fanciful.
But what we've got to do is put an end to this destabilisation from Mr Rudd.
Julia Gillard has won the ballot, 71 votes to 31.
I congratulate Julia on her strong win today. The caucus has spoken. I accept the caucus's verdict without qualification and without rancour.
Today I want to say to Australians one and all, this issue, the leadership question, is now determined.
Why don't you two join and establish a new party that can open a new chapter in politics in Australia?
It's very flattering, but no.
Well, 2 points on that. The first is Malcolm and I could never agree on the leadership.
Yes, Brian Costa, we've spoken a little bit about potential leadership challenges on the coalition side.
Yes.
Is anything on the horizons for the government?
No, I think that's finished. I thought the challenge that Mr Rudd launched in, was it February, was very, very ill-considered. I mean, he clearly did not have a competitive set of numbers. He got beaten, what, 71 to 32, was it there, or somewhere around that? I mean, that was a severe beating. I mean, perhaps I come to this from a different perspective. I mean, first he said there that the people who elected me as Prime Minister, well, they didn't elect him as Prime Minister. They elected him as the member for the seat in Brisbane.
Well, sort of.
Sort of, yeah, sort of. You know, parties have the right. They don't do it often, but changing leaders, even Prime Ministers. You remember Robert Menzies was removed by his own cabinet in 1940. People tend to forget that. And I think you need to look at the reasons why Mr Rudd was removed. I must say, I thought that he would be a good Prime Minister, but there seemed to be reasons there of management style, personality and other things in which he gridlocked the office.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think the problem with that, of course, is, and this is one thing worth, I mean, it would have been much better for the Labor Party if there hadn't been certain trade union officials and other apparatchiks going on television that night and the night after bragging about what great kingmakers they were.
It was extraordinary, and that created a whole narrative around the party and so on. Now, I suppose so much is going to depend on what happens with the polls, whether or not they tighten, and precisely how much pressure gets applied to either leader. At this stage, it seems to be a battle between two leaders we don't particularly like as an electorate, but that is nonetheless what's ahead of us. Brian Costa, thank you very much for speaking to us and helping us look back. It's been great to talk.
Thank you, Waleed.
Brian Costa, Professor of Politics at Swinburne University.